Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us again today here on blogtalkradio.com/course mastery. That's how you can find us here. You can also find us, we usually share a link on our Facebook page, facebook.com/course mastery. And we have started a ministry now, so we are also available at TrueThought, T-R-U-E, TrueThought.org, O-R-G, TrueThought. Is our purpose now, is to share and teach true thought. And today, if you're a first-time listener, thanks for joining us. We're going to be venturing into a discussion of Lesson 210. My name is Brother T, and my beautiful wife, Claudia Renee, here with me. And our practice is to let the lesson be our guide and the inner voice inform our conversation. So we'll share the lesson, and then we will also share some discussion from whatever comes through for us as consciousness mystics. And we will also take a brief moment now to join with you in a moment of silence. So take a good deep breath. I am not a body, I am free, for I am still as God created me. I choose the joy of God instead of pain.
Pain is my own idea. It is not a thought of God, but one I thought apart from God and from God's will. His will is joy and only joy for his beloved daughter. And I choose instead of what I made.
I am not a body.
Wait, and that I choose instead of what I made.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as God created me. Amen. Let's take another brief moment now in silence and let this energy be felt by us as we joined and meld with it. Let's take a good deep breath. I choose the joy of God instead of pain. There is only joy in love, real love, not this artificial, we're making it up as we go along kind of love, right? The love that seems to be full of attributes. We talked yesterday about attributes a little bit, that love, real love, has no attributes. Love is. The ego construct of love is one that quite demanding on the loved ones around us, requiring a specialness. And A Course in Miracles, Jesus teaches us about that specialness. He teaches quite at length about relationship with that self. And he refers to it as special love, special hate, which is a little startling when you first take that on. Because we do certainly believe this voice within us that's saying, oh, I'm being nice, I'm being caring, I'm being loving, I'm being compassionate, I'm being empathetic, I'm being compassionate with everything, this person, that person, I'm a good person. It says, I define myself by how I treat other people. But that's not true. God defines what you are, who you are, and how you serve. Love defines what you are, who you are, and how you serve. Love is what you are. So what else could define? And the ego believes that it understands what the presence of love should look like. Notice the should in the conversation. Underline the word should in the conversation, because there's no should in God. All is perfect. You are perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it, and are at that point even now, in this very now. And you must see yourself therefrom. So if you want to take notes, I'll share a thought that's coming through today, and that is to write this down on a little sticky and put it on your refrigerator so you can look at it often. You and God are one. And when you let that be, you get your capital I identity back. You and God are one. When you let that be, you get your identity back. That would mean that you're holy as God is holy. You're perfect as God is perfect. You are love as God is love. There's nowhere to go, nothing to get, and no one to fix, not even ourselves. This is a journey of returning to the awareness of the presence of love within ourselves and in all things, because we are one with all things. But to become aware of the presence of love within ourselves will absolutely set you back on your heels when you first get a glimpse of how absolutely magnificent you are. Indeed, you are a blessed being.
Feel that. Feel that. So I'm witnessing and watching a wash of love over Brother T right now. A touching of the hem, an experience of love is something that we feel, that we experience. And it is filled with joy. And these are tears of joy and joyfulness. Mm. Yeah. And I choose the joy of God instead of pain. Isn't it interesting that tears can represent both? Both joy and both pain. And it's the consciousness aligned with a will that determines which we experience. Is the consciousness, is the attention focused upon God and thoughts of God, love and thoughts of love, peace and thoughts of peace. And when it is, we experience joy and peace and love and happiness. When the consciousness is aligned with fear and judgment and lack and limitation and sin and guilt, we experience suffering and pain. A conversation I had with a friend recently contemplating whether suffering is required, and then a quote from Ernest Holmes came across my feed, and it said something to the effect, I am beginning to believe that humanity, that man, is realizing that suffering is not, you know, a part of the pathway, that we can let that go. And so when I read this lesson and I think of humanity and I think of Christianity and other pathways, you know, there always seems to be this component of suffering and even the fear of what God's will might be for me. And I remember when I was a younger person contemplating what my purpose in life would be, and I remember having this odd thought, you know, what if God's will for me is to be an accountant? And I remember just, yeah, you know that's funny. You know, and somebody was like, well, why would God's will be for you to do something that doesn't bring you joy? And I think that we have a lot of conditioned ideas of what we must do and where we must derive our identity. And, you know, Tony opened with God and I as being one, and therein lies my identity. And that's it. You know, I am not a body. I am not form. We walk around with our business cards identifying us in a variety of different ways and with a lot of different value systems and credentials, and all of that is fine and well and good and may indeed be a symbol of, you know, a role that I play, but it isn't my identity. And so today I celebrate that God's will for me is joy, and that as I follow the thread of desire, as I follow the joyfulness of my heart's desire, I trust that it leads me to the center of the heart and mind of all that is, of Creator, of God. And therein I find myself, the holy and beloved daughter of the Most High, and it's my choice. I get to choose. I can choose what I made or what God created. And that's the difference between joy and suffering and pain. Why wouldn't we, as a Judeo-Christian culture, associate suffering and pain with having to do with God when we were raised with a story that told us that God required the sacrifice and suffering of his son, his only son? So that is something that we are liberated from, that idea. We're liberated from that idea now. I choose the joy of God instead of pain. And gosh, isn't it wonderful? That's God's will for me. And that when my will is aligned with God's will, everything is aligned.
We used to have a, and still do, a kind of a fun little play on words for our ministry, True Thought. And it's no thought required. Because this was, I'll share with you, this was kind of a true thought that was a little unsettling. It was shared by Jesus, channeling through Paul Tuttle as Raj Poor, and in one of his discussions through Paul, he shared, he said, you know, God did not create you to be a thinker. And I shared this at a gathering one time, and there was actually a minister in the audience who got quite upset with me that I would make that argument because, you know, I understand his position because, oh, we're very creative and we do all these wonderful things here in the world and we're helping people and we're coming up with all these great ideas and we're playing. Yes, we're playing. We're playing indeed. We're playing at being God. But the thoughts of God are the only thoughts of reality. This is a little difficult for, I'll just say, me to get my head around because I am a thinking human, a thinking person, and these thoughts are incessant and really almost never cease, even for the briefest of instants. But to really know love, to really know and connect with that higher self, we have to let the thinking self, we have to put that thinking self aside. And that's, you know, that's the result of us pretending to be God, is, you know, we're the ones that are creating thoughts. And then our thoughts would have to be different than the thoughts of God. In order for us to be separate from God, they would be different. Then thoughts would be not thoughts of love. And so it makes sense, I guess, if you allow yourself to consider it, that pain is my only idea, because it's an idea of separation. The only ideas that I could have, this small thinking self could have, would be ideas of separation, and that could only be pain because it is a separation from love. Yeah, so the will of God as well is the only real will. So when we say, Father, thy will be done, we're really setting aside our thinking mind. How could we have a will for anything if we weren't thinking of something? And thinking that we have a will is a and expressing that will is to express our thoughts, you know. So they all represent a self that's really kind of struggling, if you will, to validate itself as existing and being real. And so then I think you mentioned about the idealized self. I think it might have been in your talk on Sunday, but it was, you know, that's what it does. The ego comes up with some construct of what it takes to be worthy, this idealized self, and goes about getting everybody else to agree with its thought, you know, of who and what it is. And man, the beat goes on because it just, it's never ending. And I think as you shared, it's a full-on existence of seeking but not finding. And we can finally let go. We're at lesson 210. We're two-thirds of the way through the workbook lessons now, just about. And it's okay to rest in peace.
When somebody is concerned or afraid, what do you mean no thought required? What do you mean just align with God's will? How will I retain my uniqueness?
Are you turned on?
I guess I'm not. Thanks for catching me. The fear comes up of, thinking only the thoughts of God and only being aligned with God's will would somehow be limiting. Then where would my uniqueness and my unique divine expression come in? And in truth, in reality, in a moment when we think not one of our own thoughts of the ego mind, is when the quantum leaps of inspiration occur. You know, Albert Einstein speaks of that in those moments, of letting go and aligning and not having our own thought is when the fear of where will my uniqueness, where will my, and for, yeah, so for, that's it.
No, I think you wanted to go somewhere with that.
I think the fear is that we won't retain our uniqueness, or that life will be vanilla and boring. And I think it's quite the contrary, that when we align in that consciousness, we actually open up to not only infinite possibility, but the right and perfect extension and expression through us that utilizes our gifts and our talents in perfect ways that aren't single-pointed, but there are all kinds of possibilities for our expression, our truly creative expression. Right. So,
I think that's one of the biggest stumbling blocks of all for all of us to, journey forth those last few steps, walking through the threshold, if you will, to ascension of the mind, the connection with that mind, because it's like, okay, who am I going to be if I'm not going to be who I thought I am?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The thinking self has a clear idea. Mm-hmm. Well, not too clear, but it actually does believe that it understands and knows, I know what I am, who I am, kind of thing. Even though it doesn't even want to entertain the question, really. But to even then say, I don't, and to admit that, to have the humility, enough humility to say, I don't know who I am, then it's the fear of losing ourselves. And that's a huge stumbling block for all of us on this journey of ascension. Mm. Absolutely. And so giving ourselves over to the will of God and all of that is certainly fearful, but all of our constructs are fearful because they're all based on that simple premise that it's a fear-based thought system.
Mm. But there really is no other choice.
Ultimately, no.
Yeah.
No.
And that's okay. And I mean, we're given choice, but we're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ironically, it's not a fearful choice.
Yeah.
In truth. Right. How could we be afraid of this perfect love,
mm-hmm.
really?
Mm-hmm.
What would there be to be afraid of? Other than our own definitions of what love might be. I choose the joy of God instead of pain. And it's a high call. Because even though our construct of ourselves and how we exist as humans in form is quite painful, we're comfortable with the knowing or the understanding, I should say, that we believe we have of what that is. And I can deal with this.
You mean it's better to dance with the devil you know than yeah. the one you don't know, even yeah. if it's got exactly. the name of joy?
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 Exactly.
Yeah. Hmm.
So let's, you care to take us through a little moment
sure.
here, a little process to kind of just be still for a moment and consider our conversations and the teaching for today.
And so we just pause right where we are. And we take a breath, a conscious breath, breathing in and breathing out. And a few more. And in this turning within, in this stillness, I turn my attention and awareness to the very presence of love, to the spirit, holy and divine, that divine self. And I may ask, are you there? I may say, there you are. But I open to a spaciousness of recognition. And in humility and grace, I simply ask, what is the truth to be revealed to me? And I listen. I am grateful that I am not a body, that I am free, for I am still as God created me. I choose the joy of God instead of pain.
Pain is my own idea. It is not a thought of God, but one I thought apart from Him and from His will. His will is joy, and only joy for His beloved children. And that I choose instead of what I may.
I am not a body.
I am free.
For I am still as God created me. And so it is.
And so it is. And we end here now. For now. We'll be back. God bless.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with You, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is Yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when Yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember Your forgiveness and Your love. let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send